Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. Now, my understanding is when the draft strategy was released in December 2017, it didn't include any input from the alcohol industry. Since then, why has the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, allowed the alcohol industry to have this say in shaping the strategy?
Well, going just slightly back, and I won't get into too much detail, but there's been drafts around since early 2016, and in fact, it's gone backwards and forwards many, many times. That last draft, and then the issue about the alcohol industry coming back in. Unfortunately, Australia's had a really long history of the alcohol industry being completely, utterly involved in the development. And around the world, we see this as a standard industry tactic. Now, they learnt this from the tobacco industry. Get in the room, you can disrupt. You can confuse the discussions, you can disrupt the discussions, and it effectively means that you always end up with watered-down policies, watered-down strategies, as we've seen here. So the global alcohol industry, and the Australian industry is part of that. I don't know if most people know, but CUB is one of our biggest brewers. They're actually owned by Anheuser-Busch and through about the American company. So it's really important that we keep these global multinational companies out of that room so that we can have those discussions about what actually works without being disrupted by a whole lot of vested interests that are just about making profit.
It is reminiscent of the old anti-smoking ads originally put out by the tobacco industry that made smoking actually look even cooler than it was already considered.
We actually have good evidence that so when people are told to drink responsibly, the industry knows that in fact that works in two ways. One is you and I will always think we drink responsibly because most of us don't do things we think are irresponsible. But there's that small group of people that have problems. Now, that small group of people also tend to be somewhat rebellious. And when you tell them to drink responsibly, they tell you to go away. You know, and they drink more heavily.
I'd say that's an excellent example. In terms of examples, I guess, specifics from the report, are there any specifics we can draw out of this new leaked draft of changes that have been made?
Yeah, look, I think there's a, you know, the one of the big ones was that it previously said the alcohol industry should not be involved in the process of developing policy. It's fine to consult with them about how to implement the process, but it's not about what the policy should be. Now, that comes from the World Health Organization. That's a clear statement at a global level. So that was changed. Also, all the stuff around saying why we need a national alcohol strategy. Everybody knows Australians drink a lot, but there was clear statements about the levels of harm and why we need that strategy. But as always happens, what was taken out and put back in by the industry or by the people who got influenced by the industry was, oh, look, all Australians drink and it, you know, it's part of our culture. Don't worry about it too much. It's only a small group of people. And this is, again, classic alcohol strategy. So that's a really big problem. If we didn't need an alcohol, you know, if it wasn't such a problem, why are we having an alcohol strategy? And I'm sure most people know the numbers are just about how big that problem is.
I guess, is there a bit of, is it overlooked the risks of moderate regular consumption for the sake of focusing on excessive drinking?
And I think one of the important things is, as most people appreciate, we are learning more and more about all sorts of things around the world through the development of science. And with alcohol, the studies have been getting better and better, and we now understand particularly the risks around cancer, but around a whole lot of other diseases that we didn't understand a long time ago. So those measures of hey, you know what, you can drink six drinks without having a problem, and then it became four, then it became two, and now the World Cancer Organization and the World Health Organization both say, look, unfortunately, there's no such thing as safe drinking levels because we don't know which drink, alcohol is going to act as a toxin and potentially cause that cancer in you. That doesn't mean we're saying you will absolutely get cancer. It's not like tobacco where you know, you get half of all smokers are guaranteed to get lung cancer. But it does mean that you as a public are educated about the risks. And that's the thing that the government has completely failed on again and again, about putting adequate, appropriate warnings on labels and putting out those messages out there clearly. And it's because of the power of the alcohol industry. And the power of the alcohol industry, we have to go back to political donations, because between alcohol and gambling, we're talking about, you know, the second and third biggest donators to our political party.
And just briefly, Peter, as perhaps a final point, obviously if this one, we're talking about, as you mentioned, multinational companies that are involved, they get fingers in their pies, fingers in pies all around the world sort of thing, in terms of these global strategies, these other country strategies. What would a effective strategy actually look like, an effective national alcohol strategy actually look like, and is there anywhere we can look for that?
So there are some countries that have effective alcohol strategies. I'd have to go and have a look at the current version, sorry, because I know Britain's just lost theirs. In terms of what it would look like, it would have clear targets in terms of reductions of levels of harm, so levels of violence, levels of cancer, levels of heart disease, et cetera, et cetera. And we would have clear strategies. So we would have, we would be saying, actually, what we need to do is address price in these populations. We need to address availability in areas where alcohol dependence and alcohol-related violence is very high. We need to talk about strategies for, and clear things like no advertising in sport, clear things like making sure labels actually tell people the real risks of alcohol consumption. Those things are things that government can do and should do as a responsible government, so that we as consumers all know what the risks are.
Well, Peter, I appreciate your time having a chat with us about this one this morning.
Thank you.